This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the iHealth and Health News channels. Don't forget, we are streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Today, we are speaking with Dr. Richard Foulkes, a renowned ophthalmologist in the Chicago area. With his research, lectures, and writing, he has influenced doctors around the world. Dr. Foulkes has dedicated himself to the practice of vision correction since 1997, and he has performed over 48,000 LASIK procedures and over 20,000 cataract procedures to date. Dr. Foulkes, a pleasure to have you with us today on eHealth Radio.
Well, listen, it's a pleasure to have you take the time to chat with me, and we're hoping that we can spread the news about the really important development here in eye care.
And you are more than welcome, and certainly looking forward to hearing from you in all regards. So for starters, tell us, what is keratoconus and what options are there for keratoconus treatment?
Sure. Keratoconus is a not too uncommon condition that is often relatively silent until the condition becomes relatively advanced. It is essentially poorly understood, truthfully. The mechanism of the disease is still being worked out. We would tell you that it is essentially a weakening of the cornea. The cornea, of course, is the front window on your eye. It's that clear tissue that sits over the iris, the color pot of your eye. And generally, most of us are pretty unaware of that tissue unless we get it scratched or something. Dry eyes, of course, you'll notice that. But in general, it turns out that the cornea is most of the refractive ability of your eye. About 44 diopters of power required to come through the cornea to get the image back onto your retina. So it's a really important part of your vision. And it normally has a relatively spherical shape, a roundish shape. And many of us have, though, just a little bit of an oblong shape, as if a balloon, let's say, was pulled in one direction, so that the balloon would therefore be a bit longer in one way and shorter in the opposite way. And we might say steeper in one axis, flatter in the opposite axis. That's, of course, called astigmatism. So that's the other way that your vision can become a little bit out of focus. So keratoconus is a rather extreme version of this. What happens in keratoconus is, for unknown reasons, the cornea will begin to thin. And it's typically the lower part of the cornea that will give way. It is often associated with eye rubbing, sometimes allergy, sometimes just an exquisitely, delicious feeling when you rub your eye. So we often find keratoconus sufferers are pretty vicious eye rubbers. and you can kind of think of this a little bit as that little doll that you squeeze and the eyeballs pop out. It's a little bit on that score. If you imagine if you pressurize the eye, the eye's going to give way in its weakest point. And as it turns out, that just very well might be the lower part of the cornea that we've been describing. So what happens is the cornea then begins to thin, and as it does, it will bulge, just like those eyeballs in that little doll that you squeezed. And as it bulges, it's going to create a steepening at the lower part of the cornea. The cornea's going to get steep down there, which is going to flatten the cornea over the center part of the eye where you're trying to look through. And the problem with this disease is it's very progressive. Once it gets going, it can progress relatively rapidly, maybe 1 to 2 years. One can see the vision getting worse and worse. First of all, the patient notices they have astigmatism. They might get some contacts for that or wear some glasses. But as it progresses, and usually quite rapidly, within 3 to 4 years, the patient often is finally identified as having this problem.
Also, Dr. Foulkes, who can benefit from corneal cross-linking?
Yeah, so what we're after with cross-linking, now, the cornea is composed essentially of, we call it lamellar. That would be like a laminate surface. A laminate, of course, would be layered, pieces of wood. And the cornea similarly has layers of cells inside of it. And those cells are doing two different things. The inner part of the cornea is maintaining the health of this clear tissue, which of course doesn't have any blood vessels to feed the cells. So it's very soft, and it allows fluid to pass up through the cornea to feed the cells that are in the middle part of the cornea. The outer part of the cornea is composed of a bit more of a basket work of cells. So those are kind of organized in such a way and in cell type as well, that will hold the integrity of the outer part of the cornea to keep that cornea in place. And probably what happens in keratoconus is that outer layer begins to give way. It's weakened, possibly by inflammatory mediators, possibly just by the physical activity of eye rubbing, or a little bit of both. And so a colleague of mine, a good friend who lives in Zurich, named Theo Seiler, had an idea back in the 1990s that he had the thought that, because in keratoconus we tend to see a little bit less as you get older. So he had a thought that perhaps the ultraviolet rays that our eyes experience during our lifetime are causing some stiffening of the anterior surface, the front surface of the cornea. And so he experimented with some rabbits, and he found that if he caused that front surface of the cornea to stiffen by reacting ultraviolet light to a vitamin, a riboflavin, that he could create free radicals. Free radicals, of course, are these oxygen, oxygen is normally O2, and oxygen free radicals are a single oxygen molecule. And they're radical in the sense that they are seeking to attach it onto something quickly. They don't want to remain in that state. And so we can create free radicals by activating riboflavin with ultraviolet light, the very stuff that comes from the sun. So we're essentially using a tanning light on the surface of your eye, with the eye being soaked in riboflavin. So we'll soak this orange vitamin into the cornea and then react it to a tanning light, essentially 3 milliwatts currently here in the United States of ultraviolet light of a certain frequency. And what will happen is, as Theo showed in rabbit models, this floppy rabbit cornea would suddenly become stiff. And so in 2003, 16 patients were treated in Germany. And these patients had pretty severe keratoconus, all 16 of them. And those patients went through the treatment. And to this day, none of them have seen progression in their keratoconus. And this was absolutely revolutionary. Prior to this, there was really nothing we could offer these patients beyond wearing hard contact lenses and ultimately corneal transplant. Corneal transplants, though effective, often fail, sometimes less than 5 to 10 years. And when they do, the secondary transplant often doesn't work as well. And of course, this is an extreme issue for a patient. They have to maintain these using drops. These are stitched onto the eye. The vision through them often isn't exquisitely good, and that failure rate offers a lifetime problem for anyone who has to endure a corneal transplant. So to have a technique that would prevent these patients from going on to develop a corneal transplant was absolutely revolutionary. And around the world, folks took up the mantle, and Dr. Seiler's work spread rapidly around the world. Tens of thousands of patients now have been treated around the world by this technique. However, we in the United States often suffer for the fact that our FDA is trying to absolutely protect us from any possible bad outcome. And so the FDA took a very long time to allow us approval of this technique, and we finally did get it approved here in 2016. And the company was a little slow in getting the lamps and the riboflavin out to us, and we just began treatments here a few months back. Here in the United States on a commercial basis. And so we, of course, being friends with Theo, have been wanting to get this going for a very long time. And we finally, of course, have patients now coming in on a weekly basis to have this treatment. It's really exciting. The thing to say about this, and I can't emphasize this enough, is the earlier we can get the treatment for you, the better your outcome. And Dr. Seiler, now that we're so many years up the road, has shown that slowly over time, when you see the cornea, that this severe steepening that these patients have in blurred vision improves year by year. At 6 months to 6 years out, a good bit of that astigmatism has started to flatten on the cornea. And of course, for these patients, the most exciting news is that they are not likely to then go on to have the progression of disease, which can lead then to corneal transplant. So pretty exciting stuff.
You took the words out of my mouth. This is really exciting news in all regards, and really good to hear this. It's surprising it took so long for the FDA to approve it as well. Now, tell us, what is the process for this procedure? How long does it take? What are the risks involved, if there are any?
Yes. So the technique that comes to us is called the Dresden Protocol. And the Dresden Protocol just simply has the longest track record. So we just know the most about it because it's been around for the longest time. And so the Dresden Protocol is what we do apply here in the United States currently, based on the FDA protocol. And the Dresden Protocol, it works like this. We essentially use this vitamin, you know, literally just riboflavin, and it's batched up in a concentration that allows for it to penetrate your cornea in a special way. So to get it to ideally penetrate the deepest into your cornea, we remove the anterior surface, the front surface of the cornea, which is called epithelium. It's essentially the skin surface of your cornea. So we have a painless method for removing this this very thin 40-micron layer of the front surface of your cornea. That allows the riboflavin to sink deep into the cornea. We've attempted to do this technique without removing the epithelium, and there's been several research protocols going on here in the United States. Ultimately, the problem with it is that the patients don't get as deep a treatment. So Dr. Salas seems to have had this worked out very well from the very beginning. Of course, he had done the work, extensive work with animal modeling, and had proven that the deeper treatment was with the epithelium removed. So the epithelium's removed. You sit there, listen to some music, and we've got a I'll be removing the epithelium. One of my technicians then starts applying this drop onto your eye, you know, literally minute by minute. And after about 30 minutes, we make sure that we see a deep soaking of your cornea. I'll have a look at your eye and make sure that the riboflavin is penetrated into the eye. And at this point, you begin to do your tanning technique. You're going to have the tanning light sitting over your eye. It'll blink on and off at a regular basis for about 30 minutes. So that the entire process takes actually an hour to do. And at the end of that time, we're going to place a contact lens in your eye. The patient then needs about 4 to 5 days for the epithelium, the front surface of the cornea, to reheal onto the front. And the vision, though, it will be affected by this, but you still can see. You're not blinded by this in any way. And discomfort-wise, by our current technique, it's modest discomfort. And, of course, the small discomfort you're experiencing is going to, you know, for all we know, should give you a lifetime of prevention of a condition that may well have led to you requiring a corneal transplant. So pretty cool stuff. And, I mean, for someone that's been at this work as long as I have been, I'll just tell you this is one of the most exciting developments in our field in the past 15 years.
Today we are speaking with Dr. Richard Folks, a renowned ophthalmologist in the Chicago area that has dedicated himself to the practice of vision correction since 1997 here on eHealth Radio's iHealth and Health News channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Dr. Folks, what makes this technique so unique?
Well, you know, really the beauty of this particular idea is really its simplicity. All we're really doing here is we're slightly altering the structural integrity of this incredible tissue that we call the cornea. And so what's really amazing about it is, you know, we're essentially kind of aging the front surface of your cornea. We're causing those layers in there to stiffen. And by stiffening those layers by this simple technique, we prevent this terrible condition called keratoconus. And those patients are often struggling with vision. They often have a lot of double vision. There's a kind of a two focal points that occur in the back of the eye. And so they'll see shadows in all their vision, a lot of effect vision at night. And this can limit their activity. These are patients that often struggle and with this progression as well. And the solutions historically, wearing hard contact lenses, you know, is they're not particularly comfortable. And it still didn't stop the progression of the disease. We are still very interested and are working on techniques to reduce that astigmatism and actually, in some patients, see this as a refractive procedure so that we can actually improve the refraction, perhaps even get some of these patients out of glasses and certainly out of contact lenses. And so the real goal ultimately, and I think is going to be the future of this work, is going to be to rethink the way we treat the cornea, to really see the cornea as a dynamic tissue that we can reshape to allow patients to get better vision without just doing laser evaporative surgery, which is what we've always done with LASIK. So, you know, we've got a lot of tricks up our sleeves these days, and very exciting to be at the forefront of doing this work here. We're the first center here in the whole Chicagoland area to get going with this. And obviously, I have the opportunity to lecture overseas and see this work progressing. And I was very excited to get going. I have a lot of patients that were waiting to have this treatment here. And it's been really very gratifying to be able to provide this service.
If one wanted to request an appointment for cross-linking, how would they do that?
Yeah, sure. First of all, you can visit my website. It's glassesfree.com. And we've got all the links there to provide you with information about this procedure and contact data to get you into my staff so we can get you in for an evaluation. The evaluation of this for this procedure is quite extensive, and we have the premier devices for evaluating your keratoconus and then following your keratoconus after your treatment to see that you're progressing back towards good vision. And we'll have a lot of things to offer you when you come in to sort of fully explain how the technique works and then what we can additionally offer. Oftentimes insurance will cover additional techniques that can further improve your vision and maintain your vision over time. For instance, there's a device called the Intact Ring. And again, you can read about this ring when you visit my website at glassesfree.com. You can also call our office phone, which is 630-724-1400. That's 630-724-1400, and talk to Joyce or any of my staff, and we can get you in for an evaluation. We can't emphasize enough that you can also visit the website for the company, and you can find a practitioner in your area if you don't live in the Chicagoland area to find me. And the company is called Avenova. And it's avenova.com, A-V-E-N-O-V-A, Avenova. And that company, to their credit, took on this project and were delayed for years and years by the FDA, and they just kept hammering at it. We were involved with that process, and I can't tell you enough how much we are thankful for the good work they've done. The technique is absolutely going to revolutionize the future lives of a lot of young people that have disease. And by the way, keratoconus can occur at any age, and we've seen the disease occurring in older folks as well. So it's very important that if your optometrist or anyone has seen you and has some concern about your having this condition, that you get yourself evaluated at a center like mine that has expertise in being able to diagnose and treat this very treatable disease in 2016.
It is glassesfree.com. Dr. Folks, very informative, and it has been our pleasure and honor to be a part of getting the message out and for having a moment with you today here on eHealth Radio. Thanks so much.
Well, listen, I can't tell you enough how important it is that we get this information out, and I hope that your listeners out there will spread the news to friends and family that that there is something that can be done for this quite common and underdiagnosed problem.
Well, certainly exciting news at that, and we thank you once again. We have been speaking with Dr. Richard Folks, a renowned ophthalmologist in the Chicago area, and has dedicated himself to the practice of vision correction since 1997. And once again, for more information and for contact, simply visit glassesfree.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio in the iHealth and Health News channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit ehealthradionetwork.com.